Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
And I'm James Shakeshaft.
And we have had multiple requests for an episode about werewolves.
Like two.
It's easily in the twos.
It's double figures.
And so I went away and I did some research and you went away and researched wolf facts.
Yep.
And I came back with stories about horrible Scottish people.
Yeah.
I hate to continue the anti-Scottish bias that the podcast is showing.
But hey, they're facts.
Yeah, they're not really facts.
They're legends.
I bring you the tale of Sawney Bean. Jimothy. You told me that it was your 40th birthday, so I thought I would finally address you with appropriate gravitas and your full name.
Jimothy. I was just going to call you Alice Dorothy.
I like it. What does the F in your name stand for? Because when you send me the files to edit, my name is ABK, Alistair Baker King, and yours is JFS. I read JFS as James Shakeshaft every time. like Amanda Palmer. JFS. What does it stand for? Franklin?
No.
Francis?
Yes.
It is Francis.
It's Francis, yeah.
Nice.
Because my granddad, Jimmy Shakeshaft, EEG, his dad was actually called Francis James, but everyone called him Jim.
Mm.
So he did better than his dad's nickname, obviously. That's Donkey's kid.
Donkey, oh yeah, yeah. So I thought I would sit down and try and find an English werewolf.
Yes. There was Old Stinker, of course.
Yeah, we mentioned one in Andrew O'Neill's episode about Milton Keynes, and there's Old Stinker, who follows us on Twitter.
Yeah, that's worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very unusual, because most of the cryptids we've talked about don't follow us on Twitter.
No.
I think it's great that they have embraced social media.
The digital age, yes.
Yeah. When you do a tweet about Nessie, you don't get the Loch Ness Monster coming in your mentions going, you what?
Well, if you subtweet Nessie, maybe. That's the problem. Yeah. We've mentioned the family Ness enough for word to have got back.
If Nessie was on Twitter, I think she would have found out about it by now.
Yes.
Probably more Insta with Nessie.
Nice pictures.
Here's me in black and white, very far away.
Here's me with some small waves.
Here's me looking quite a lot like a log. So I was looking for English werewolves, British werewolves.
Yes.
And there aren't that many.
No.
And I found an explanation at least for that.
Yes.
Sabine Baring Gould, still no idea how to pronounce his name. A friend of the podcast, Sabine Baring Gould's book, The Book of Werewolves, from 1865.
The Big Book of Werewolves. Oh, right, 1865.
The Bumper Book of Werewolves. He writes that English folklore, and I should be clear, he and several other people we're going to meet keep saying England when they mean Britain.
Ah.
And I feel like it's incumbent upon me to draw attention to that, because there's some anti-Scottish bias here. And we did an episode about Shetland, and listening back to the accents we did, I feel a lot of guilt towards Scotland. So I feel like someone needs to speak for Scotland on this podcast. But he says, English folklore is singularly barren of werewolf stories, the reason being that wolves had been extirpated under the Anglo-Saxon kings and therefore ceased to be objects of dread to the people. The traditional belief in werewolfism must, however, have remained long in the popular mind.
Mm.
He basically goes on to say that when people committed crimes that would in France or Germany have been considered lycanthropy, i.e. werewolf crimes, in Britain, they were recognised as what they are, which is just cannibalism.
Oh.
And I have to say, I really don't like cannibalism.
I imagine as a vegan, especially.
It's really unvegan to eat people.
Is it, though?
Yes, it is.
But surely they're the only creature that you could ethically get the meat of, because they can reason.
Are you thinking of that German guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, that doesn't look like that would be the tastiest bit.
You've got to have a lot of information about what you're referring to there for that to make sense.
Yes, I would have gone for a more traditional cut of meat.
I'll tell you what, we're going to meet some Scottish highwaymen who agree with you about that.
Oh, yeah?
So I hate cannibals.
Oh, brave stance. Brave stance from Alistair there. Oh, good luck getting that represented on the BBC as a point of view.
Yep. Once again, I'm being cancelled for my opinions. I will not be silenced. Not a fan of cannibalism.
Okay, then.
I do quite like wolves. My understanding, James, is that you are a purveyor of wolf facts.
Yes.
So I'd like to now hand over to you, the wolf correspondent, the Lawmen's wolf correspondent, James Shakeshaft.
I feel like I need to like an 80s Radio 1 top 10 countdown type bed. Wolf facts. So, yeah, you're right. We did used to have wolves in this country, but they died out around the 14th century.
Died out seems generous to us. Did they just die, or were they hunted to extinction?
Loads of landed gentry claim to have been the person to kill the last wolf in Britain.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, there's a lot of people lie, don't they? People lie, really. And in looking up wolves, I came across one of my favourite books. Have you heard of this book, Top Sells Histories of Beasts?
No, I haven't.
I think the original edition was Top Sells History of Four-Footed Creatures and Serpents.
So like four-legged there, not like 4 foot tall.
No, yes. What he was a naturalist in the late 1500s, early 1600s. The pictures are really good. You definitely recognise the pictures and the style of the pictures. But he wasn't really very good naturalist. He just sort of collected a load of stories together.
Wow, imagine just grabbing a load of stories together and not really doing any proper research and then just passing them off as your own.
I know.
The audacity.
But we're still talking about him 400 years later.
But yeah, that's probably more longevity than the Lawmen podcast will have.
Maybe, yes, maybe. It's been reprinted in lots of forms, mostly sort of reduced forms. It has like loads of real animals, but then it also has things like the cockatrice.
Oh yeah.
The unicorn.
Classic.
The kraken, I think, is in there.
Oh yeah, nice.
Dragon. Something called camelopardle. I'm going to have a little look at the picture. It's a giraffe. It's basically a giraffe. Problem solved. Mystery done.
Case closed.
He repeated a lot of the sort of myths that were knocking around as though they were fact. He didn't really fact check. He just repeated. So a few of the claims that ended up in there is that true toads have a toadstone in their heads that protects people from the poison.
Oh, right.
Weasels give birth through their ears. And apes are terrified of snails. Presumably because they look like moving stones.
That would be creepy, yeah, yeah.
But he wrote about the wolf. He repeated the claim that wolves would lick their paws so that they could creep across leaves a lot quieter. If a wolf, like, trod on a twig and it snapped and alerted its prey, it would bite its foot out of anger to teach the foot a lesson. They only go after live humans if they tasted dead humans. You said about lycanthropy. Now, there isn't, as we know, much talk of that in this country. But according to Topsell, who, can we just remind ourselves, told everyone that weasels give birth through their ears. There's a certain territory in Ireland where the inhabitants, he says foolishly reported to be turned into wolves when they're past 50 years old.
Like a werewolf version of Logan's Run.
Kind of. The inhabitants are vexed with the disease called lycanthropy, which is a kind of melancholy. It tends to happen to people in February. Also, by the way, January's a big month for werewolves. And that is just around the corner, so do be careful. The symptoms of this disease seem to sort of sound a little bit like rabies or something.
Mm.
They can't spit and they get lots of ulcers and they're a bit grumpy. You know, rabies.
That sounds like me in my 30s. Have I become an elderly Irishman?
Maybe. All wolves are enemies to sheep, by the way.
Yeah, that's not controversial, yeah. But wolves and sheep don't get along.
At the sight of the sheep, the wolf makes an extraordinary noise with his foot, whereby he calls the foolish sheep unto him. Standing amazed at the noise, a sheep falls into his mouth and is devoured.
No, that's not what happens.
He hypnotises him. No.
No, that sounds like a bad shepherd's extremely unlikely tale. What, the sheep fell into its mouth?
Because it did a thing with its foot.
And then it fell in, did it?
Mm.
It fell in.
Yeah, and it fell into its mouth because it did.
The sheep fell.
Yes.
Into the wolf's mouth.
Yes.
That's your story.
Yep. And last wolf fact is their brains increase and decrease with the moon.
Their brains?
Yep. Size of their brain increases with the moon, Alistair. Weren't you listening?
No, I'm sorry. You know, you've explained it. Makes perfect sense. So it's like in the full moon, they're playing chess.
When there's no moon, they're just not even managing a Sudoku.
Well, it's interesting you talk about wolves getting the taste for human flesh. Because I found three cases of Scottish cannibalism.
Oh, yeah.
The first is brought up by Sabine Berengould while talking about English cannibalism, because he's not bothered about the distinction between England and Scotland.
He's never been to the Edinburgh Festival.
No. Yeah, you don't want to say that. On a weekend when the locals come out.
Had an English breakfast, Scottish breakfast.
There's a place just opposite the Pleasance where they do a vegan Scottish breakfast. So it's got like vegan haggis and vegan black pudding.
Ooh.
It's amazing.
I suppose you could, if you were doing vegan, you could have a real lawn sausage, but L-A-W-N. that would work as a pun.
So in Robert Lindsay's History of Scotland.
What, the guy from My Family?
From My Family, yeah.
Citizen Smith?
Yep, in the 15th century. Citizen Smith wrote The History of Scotland. He listed the auguries of King James II of Scotland's death.
Oh, yeah.
Which occurred in 1460. And there's a variety of bad omens.
Ooh.
But one of them is, about this time there was an brigand, ta'en with his hale family, who haunted a place in Angus. Now, apparently this place was called Fiend's Den.
Oh, dear.
Which has become Denfiend or Denfind, and there is a Denfind farm which you can find in that region today. I'm very, very sceptical of the etymology of that, but that's what they claim.
Mm.
This mischievous man had an execrable fashion to take all young men and children he could steal away quietly and eat them.
What?
And the younger they were, esteemed them the mare tender and delicious. For the whilk cause and damnable abuse, he with his wife and bairns were all burnt. Except ane young wench of a year old who was saved and brought to Dundee, which I assume means Dundee, where she was brought up and fostered. Yeah, so she got out. She escaped. What do you think happened to that young girl?
Oh.
That young girl grew up to be...
a werewolf.
Also a cannibal, correct, yes.
Oh.
When she came to a woman's years, she was condemned and burned quick, which I think means alive, not fast.
Oh.
She was burnt quick for the same crime.
Right.
As she was being brought to execution, people were like, boo, cannibalism's bad.
Mm.
You know, edgy stuff like I say.
Oh, brave of them.
And she turned to the crowd and she said, wherefore chide ye with me, as if I had committed an unworthy act? Give me credence and trow me. If ye had experience of eating men and women's flesh, you would think it so delicious that you would never forbear it again.
Oh, trouble is that they taste too good.
They taste too good. And without any sign of repentance, this unhappy traitor died in the sight of the people.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a book called Good Cheer, The Romance of Food and Feasting, by Frederick Hackwood, 1851.
Okay, this sounds pretty positive and upbeat, yeah?
It does sound incredibly upbeat for a book that has an entire chapter on anthropophagy, which is cannibalism.
Oh.
Yeah, like, why have you got a chapter on anthropophagy in a book called Good Cheer, The Romance of Food and Feasting?
Is it like recipes?
It does include some recipes, yes. He references, very briefly, the death feast of Melville of Glenburvie, the obnoxious sheriff of the Mearns, who was so unpopular with the Scottish barons that after he died, he was sodden and supped in a brew. So they ate him in a broth.
Oh.
But Hackwood adds, this story is generally taken by wary historians, as no doubt the feasters took their broth cum grano salis, with a grain of salt.
Oh.
Bit of a joke there for people who speak Latin.
Very nice. I suppose.
I assume that's what that means. I haven't checked. So that's a disgusting story. But my third tale is the disgustingest of them all.
Oh, yeah.
From a book on highwaymen and brigands by Charles Johnson, published in 1742, comes the tale of Sawney Bean.
Sawney Bean.
The actor Sawney Bean from Goldeneye.
Yes.
And the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Boromir.
Well, it should be Sawney Borney, right?
Sawney Borney.
One does not simply eat a person.
And he didn't.
Oh.
Although, like Sean Bean, he does die at the end, so.
Oh, that's good.
Charles Johnson recounts the monstrous and unparalleled barbarities of Sawney Bean, who supposedly was around the time of James VI of Scotland.
Is it a person or is it a place?
It's a person.
It is a person called Sawney Bean.
Sawney is Sandy, short for Alexander.
Sandy's short for Alexander?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Alexander.
Yeah.
Sandy.
Yeah.
Say Sandy in a Scottish accent. Sandy. Sawney, Sandy.
By the way, on Scottish accents, do you know that one about if you say space ghetto in a New York accent, it sounds like you're saying Spice Girl in a Scottish accent.
Space ghetto. It works.
It's really neat, isn't it?
It is.
Space ghetto.
On the subject of things that are offensive to Scottish people, you know the way that Scottish people would offensively be referred to as Jock now?
Oh, yeah.
It's a stock first name that you use to apply to the entire nation.
Right.
Sawney used to be like that.
Ah.
So at this time, it's like the Scottish cannibal, Jock McJock.
Okay.
So that should raise some questions about whether this happened.
Boaty McEats flesh.
Exactly. And basically the story is, you know that X-Files episode where the mum is under the bed on a skateboard?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Sort of...
That's grim, that one.
He was a boy She was his mum. Can I make it any more obvious?
Yeah. She lived under the bed.
Better not to go into any more detail, really. He was a hedger and ditcher. Don't know what that is. But he was too lazy. And he had a very lazy wife. So he retired from working a normal job and went to live in a cave.
Okay.
A very, very deep cave that extended a mile underground.
Oh.
And he and his wife decided to rob people for their living. So they became highwaymen.
Mm.
And eventually he built up an entire clan of cave-dwelling barbarians who would rob and steal. I'm going to read a quote from Johnson's History. As soon as they had robbed and murdered any man, woman, or child, they used to carry off the carcass to the den, where, cutting it to quarters, they would pickle the mangled limbs and afterwards eat it, this being their only sustenance. In the night time, they frequently threw legs and arms of the unhappy wretches they'd murdered into the sea, at a great distance from their bloody habitation.
All right, editorialising. A bloody habitation.
The limbs were often cast up by the tide in several parts of the country, to the astonishment and terror of all beholders. And others who heard of it. And
yeah, it's pretty grim.
25 years they continued their butcheries. They had washed their hands in the blood of 1,000 at least.
Wow.
Men, women and children. And apparently so many people were going missing that many honest travellers and innkeepers ended up being arrested and hanged on suspicion of being responsible for the mysterious disappearances.
Oh.
They were only caught when the king sent a 400-strong army out to find and arrest them.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's... Wow.
That is a lot, but there's about 40 of them.
Yeah.
All living in a cave.
Yeah.
When the soldiers finally made it into the cave,
mm-hmm.
they were, quote, so shocked at what they beheld that they were almost ready to sink into the earth.
Ooh.
Legs, arms, thighs, hands, and feet of men, women, and children were hung up in rows like dried beef. A great many limbs lay in a pickle. I'd say it's more than a pickle. It's a serious... situation.
Yeah, this is serious.
And a great mass of money, both gold and silver, with watches, rings, swords, pistols, and a large quantity of clothes, mm. both linen and woolen, and an infinite mm-hmm. number of other things, which they had taken from those whom they had murdered. So the whole family was arrested, the whole awful clan, Sawney Bean clan. They were taken to the toll booth in Edinburgh, but their crimes were considered so terrible that they were taken directly to Leith, which was considered punishment enough. Sorry for that burn on Leith.
Well, Leith's where they burned people, wasn't it? That's where Major Weir got...
The men were taught a lesson in Leith for being so uncivilised. I can't believe this, but they had their hands, legs and faces chopped off. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of someone having their face chopped off before being thrown on the fire. The women were lucky. They just got thrown on the fire.
Ah, what did they do with the arms and legs? Did they hoist them in the sea?
The coastal towns had suffered enough at that point.
Yeah.
And the people who'd heard about it had a hard time.
Yeah.
They all died.
Good.
They all, in general, died without the least signs of repentance, but continued cursing and venting the most dreadful imprecations to the very last gasp of life.
Even without a face.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That
half of them didn't have faces by this point.
Wow.
So that is the tale of Sawney Bean. Probably conjured up in order to make Scottish people sound bad.
That can't be true. That's too many people.
1,000 people.
1,000 people. How do they work? Do they count the arms and divide by two? Why did they only throw some of them in the sea as well? Because they kept some for food.
Well, you can get tired of pickle, can't you?
Pickled limbs. How would you throw a hand into the sea?
Overarm or underarm?
Would you do it like a hammer?
So spinning round, like...
Yeah. But you'd sort of have to hold the hand to do it, wouldn't you? You'd want to hold that end, because that'd be cleaner.
The hand, it's already got a handhold in the form of a hand. So yeah, you'd hold it by the hand. I think it would be for arms. You'd throw it like a hammer, so you'd spin around and then... Heads, I think you would shot put.
Yeah, and legs, javelin.
I was going to say caber toss.
Ah.
Because it's being Scotland. Yeah, get it by the foot. 1, 2, 3.
Hey. Yeah, like giving someone like the ultimate bunk.
The bunk of death.
The big bunk. A final bunk. So it's kind of like a Highland Games of body part.
Yep.
Hoying in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the body, you'd just sort of toboggan.
Lose it into the sea.
Yeah. Oh, I thought with the leg as well, you'd do a pole vault, but that's not really getting rid of the leg.
Bit of fun, though.
Could potentially be quite fun.
Yeah.
Bit of fun. If the arm's bent at an angle, it might boomerang back.
Slap you in the face.
Yeah.
That's the least you would deserve, I think.
Yes.
That's natural justice. If you're going to throw an arm in the sea...
Be prepared for 1 in 10 of them to boomerang back and slap you in the face.
Be ready, duck.
A face, if they'd done the faces, those would be the... You'd just frisbee them.
Just frisbee them, yeah.
Maybe even see if you can skim them.
A pet dog would love that. It's all in the wrist.
Yeah.
Gotta flick them.
Flick it.
So those are my tales of probably false Scottish cannibals.
Yeah.
And I invite you into my subterranean scoring cave.
Oh, your bloody homestead.
Come in, come in.
I'm coming in. I've got a cross with me, though, and I've got an angry mob on speed dial.
All right, well, take a seat on that large pile of clothes made of both linen and wool.
I'm just going to put my feet up on this footstool. Oh, gosh.
My first category for you is naming.
Naming.
I want to be clear, I'm including the names that you brought in, like whatever his name is, Tintinabulation.
Topsell.
Topsell.
Edward Topsell.
Edward Topsell, what a name.
Yeah, and that other name for the giraffe. Camelopardals.
Camelopardals. Topsell. Camiddlypiddlies.
Camiddlypiddly.
Friend of the podcast, Sabine Baring-Gould.
Yes.
And anthropophagy, a word I have to keep remembering how to say before saying
anthropophagy.
It.
Anthropophagy.
Anthropophagy.
The manticore. The manticore's in this book as well.
Cracking name.
Which is, I think, that's something with a human face, isn't it? And a lovely moustache in this picture. And a kind of haircut as well.
There's a picture in Charles Johnson's book of Sawney Bean.
Uh-huh.
And he looks fantastic. He's holding a sword. He's in good shape.
Well, he's got the pick of the clothes, hasn't he? Presumably quite a lean diet as well.
Mm. Not a lot of fibre.
It's okay for names. So I'm going to go with 3.
Okay.
Because otherwise we're just laughing at Scott's names.
All right, next category, supernatural.
It's none.
It's none. There's no actual werewolves.
No. If anything, you're debunking werewolves.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's going to be a big fat zero.
A 0 out of 5.
I'd give you minus points if I could, because you're making things less supernatural in the world.
Even though there's a town in Ireland where everyone becomes a werewolf.
Do you want a pity point? Do you want a pity point?
Yeah. And a pickled leg.
And assorted pickled items.
A bit of thigh.
A quite literal bag of bits.
Ugh.
Oh, no, not those bits.
Penultimate category, bad wolf.
Big bad wolf.
Yeah, because these guys were bad at being wolves.
Yeah, they
were just cannibals.
They were just humans.
Yeah, and the facts that you delivered, they were bad wolf facts.
Hey, they were fun.
They were fun.
They were quite inaccurate.
I do not believe that the sheep fall into wolves' mouths.
No?
Nope.
Do you believe that a wolf's mouth and teeth are strong enough to bite stones and brass and iron?
I do not believe that, no.
No, me neither.
Bad wolf fact.
Do you believe that wolves are afraid of the dog star?
No, I don't believe that they're afraid of it. I'll go out on a limb. I don't think wolves are aware of it.
Do you think that if a wolf falls upon a goat or a hog or some other beast of small stature, it doesn't kill it, but it leads it by the ear to its gang of wolf mates and then they all eat it?
Absolutely not.
No, me neither.
Oh, James, have you heard that if you see a car driving with its headlights off, you shouldn't tell them because it's wolves?
If you flash them, then the wolves...
Yeah, if you flash them, the wolves come out and eat you.
Well, wolves, actually, according to Topsell, wolves, if he knew about cars, he wouldn't be surprised that wolves didn't use headlamps because apparently their eyes could shine light. Bad wolf facts. It's going to be 5 out of 5. Bad, bad, bad wolf facts.
Oh, I enjoyed the bad wolf facts jingle there. Bad wolf facts. Bad wolf facts. Tweet us if you've got any other bad wolf facts.
Not you, old stinker.
Not you, old stinker.
What's your final category, then?
My final category is... Because it's all horrible.
Everything has been grim in this episode.
But they threw people's arms in the sea. Innocent people swimming in the sea. Unwittingly high-fiving disembodied hands.
Getting kicked. By someone who didn't want to kick him.
Horrible.
It was disgusting. I think that has to be a 5.
Great.
I mean, you're making up for the massive 0 for the supernatural.
Yeah.
Some very, very well-tailored categories there.
Thank you. Or I'll just pop that in a pickle jar.
Well, what's that floating around there?
Well, happy 40th birthday to you, James.
Thanks.
Each candle is a finger on the horrible cannibal cake I've made you here.
Thanks for only doing 4, though.
Well, there you have it, James. The worst Mr. Bean of all.
Have we got anything special coming up to tell people about, Alistair?
I don't know. I'll just look in this Christmas present-shaped box. Ooh, what's that? A live stream
yes.
On the 23rd of December.
2020.
2020.
Yes, it's going to be on twitch.tv/lawmenpod.
Wow, if I were a listener, I would watch it.
Yeah, I would blooming watch it. I'm going to deck those halls.
I'm going to rest those merry gentlemen.
The listeners, like King Wenceslas, need to look out.
Making it sound really scary.
Yeah. You know, Christmas. It turns out Christmas Day is on all sorts of different days.
Yeah, 6th of January it used to be.
What?
That's Old Christmas Day.
Old Christmas Day?
Yeah.
They waited till after New Year. When was New Year?
Not important.
Mid-Feb.
I don't know. They changed the calendars.
Who's they? Was it Greg or Ian? I wish there was a market for that sort of joke.
Yeah, there isn't. I'm not even going to put it in our podcast. I'm going to edit that out.
What? I bet there were some absolute wags who were like, oh, I feel like I haven't seen you for a few years. you know, like I haven't seen you since last year, people.
Hilarious. Oh, yeah. Haven't seen you since last millennium. That was it. That, what a year that was for them.
18-year-olds nowadays will have no concept of that.
There's two camps, aren't there? There's the people who, on the turn of year 2000, said, I haven't seen you since last millennium. And then at the other end, there's the people who kept pointing out that it wasn't the end of the millennium until the end of the year 2000. It was the start of the last year in the millennium.
Oh, I was in the third camp, which was in my Y2K bunker.
Full to the brim of sunny delight. Why didn't you get anything else?
It was almost a swimming pool. It was all you could get.
That's too much carotene.
That's why.
It's not natural.
There were two flavours of Sunny Delight, did you know?
No, I didn't.
Florida and California. You know, the two flavours.
Orange juice shouldn't need beta carotene added to it. Like, you shouldn't need to dye orange juice orange.
Oh.
If it is indeed orange juice.
Yes. Whether it be California or Floridian.
I'm just looking this up now.
Yeah.
In terms of the accuracy of the time period of my reference, I've got an article from The Independent. Too much Sunny Delight turns girl's skin yellow. The date on it, Monday the 27th of December 1999. Bang on!
In the week between Christmas and New Year 1999.
Yep. What a week it was for Sunny Delight news.
You could have argued that might have been a slow news week. No one was reading. Everyone was prepping. What was on the front page of The Independent that day?
I think it was too much Sunny Delight turns girl's skin yellow.
Boy buys pogs. Boy gets extra pog in packet of pogs.